I'd like to continue a subject that I started way earlier this year in dealing with evidences. If you remember earlier this year, I did a short series where we looked at the book of Genesis and we were looking at some things that concerning the evidences that we have in order that we might believe and have faith that we strengthen. And this evening I want to talk about part two of the lesson I did a couple of weeks ago on the danger of unbelief. But particularly tonight, I want to talk about the unbelief in the biblical account of creation. There is a real danger when people begin to question the biblical account of creation. Now, I know you might be thinking that I'm talking about atheists, people who deny the existence of God, but I'm not just talking about atheists. There is, even among us, there is a discussion that happens about maybe 10, 15 years ago that was concerning the days of creation. Now later on in this series, I'm going to do a couple of lessons that deal particularly with the days of creation. But the days of creation have been something that's been a controversy, not just in the religious world, but even among us. I want to begin tonight by looking at a passage in Psalms. Please take your Bible and turn to Psalms chapter 33 and verse number 9. Psalms 33 and verse number 9. The psalmist says, "He spoke and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast." Now, if we go back to the Genesis account, to Genesis chapter 1, and we go back to the biblical account of creation, how much information do we have about the biblical account of creation? Two chapters, Genesis 1, Genesis 2. But what is the significance of that account? I want you to open your Bible to Genesis 1. And there's only one thing we need to understand in order to grasp something about creation. In Genesis chapter 1, in the very first book of the Bible, in the beginning words of God to his creation, he said, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." Now either that is a fact or that is a false statement. It cannot be both. It either is accurate or it is false. If you and I believe that verse is true, then this situation takes care of itself. Then this discussion becomes moot if we understand that God is the creator. If we understand and we grasp that God spoke this world into existence. He spoke it. He didn't create it. He didn't have to wait to do it over millions and millions of years. He didn't have to evolve into what it is. He spoke it into existence. He brought something out of nothing. There was nothing there. The Bible says in Genesis 1, the earth was without form and void. Darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Notice what it says. The earth was void, without form, and dark. That means there was nothing here. There was nothing that was in existence. He spoke it, and it was done. He commanded it, and it stood fast. Now, with a correct understanding of the Genesis account, we can ask the same kind of question. Why should it be thought incredible by you that God raises the dead? Why should that be an incredible thing for me to believe? If you would ask people, there were two questions that have been asked by people by some scholars, this is about 20 years ago, they asked two basic questions. First was, did they believe in the biblical virgin account of the birth of Christ? Do you believe that Jesus came forth from a virgin? The second question was, did they believe in the resurrection of Christ from the dead? Now, those are two very principal, basic questions. I thought, well, those would be easy to answer. There wouldn't be any problem with a Christian understanding and affirming both those things to be true. But when I read this article, I was amazed. 65% of the people who were questioned, and we're not talking about atheists, we're not talking about people who don't believe in God, we're talking about people who claim to be a believer in God. 65% did not believe the virgin account of the birth of Jesus Christ. I couldn't believe it. Why would you be a Christian? Why would you even follow Christ if you didn't believe that basic concept? But when I was trying to get my mind around that, the second question, whether or not he was resurrected from the dead, 70% denied that. 70% of the people that were questioned did not believe literally the biblical account of the resurrection of Christ. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if you don't believe those two things, there's no use of you being a Christian. What hope do you have? What could you put your hope on? Those are two very basic principles. Both of them are miraculous. Both of them were done in a miraculous way. They're biblical miracles. But it should not be lost on us that it was God who did them. It was God who accomplished them. So why should that be a hard thing for us to get our mind around? There's another thing about creation that people often overlook. That is so basic, I don't know how to overlook it. When you look at the account of creation, and you look at the days, were things just created in a haphazard way? Did he just do things, or was there some order and some design in how he created things? Well, even in the creation, there is order. There is order and design. Let me explain. In chapter 1 of verse 3 through 5, the first thing he did is create light. Why would that be the first thing he created? You would need light in order to help the other things that he was going to create. Like plant life, like animal life, like the sun. You would have to have light. And then it says, next, there were divisions of the waters. Remember, it said the earth was without form. And it was water over the deep. And so what did he do? He separated the waters. What did he mean he separated the waters? He made the ocean. He made the seas. He made the rivers. The earth, you know how much of the earth is covered by water? 75%. 75% of the earth is covered by water. Well, that's amazing, isn't it? It's not amazing when you think about there's rivers, there's streams, there's lakes, and there's oceans. And oceans are miles deep. Miles. Not 100 feet. Not a couple 100 feet. You know, I remember going fishing with my dad, and we had one of those locators. I remember being around, I forget what lake it was, there was a dam, there was a lake where there was a dam. And that fish locator, it only went to so many feet. And it only went all the way to the bottom because it couldn't read how deep it was. But that's nothing compared to the ocean. You can go down 2 miles of water. 2 miles. Do you realize how much that is? He divided the water. And then the water would be helpful for what? For the dry land. For the grass, for the herbs, for the fruit, in order that they might be able to be watered and they could be fed and they could grow. You would need the water before you created the plants. You would need the light before you created the plants. You would need all those things in order to perpetuate the rest of the life that you were going to create. There is order and design in creation. The Bible also says next that he created the sun, the moon, and the stars. That was the sun, that was the light of the day. The sun made the light for the day, and the moon made the light for darkness. There was darkness, and in the darkness there was light. And the light that was provided for the darkness was the moon, and the sun provided the light in the day. It also helped create time. The rising of the sun and the setting of the sun. That created days. That created time, as we understand it. And then you have the stars. How many? You know there are over a billion stars? You know, I thought that was a misprint the first time I read it. But you know what the Bible says in Psalms? The Bible says He knows every one of your name. Now, can you get your mind around that? We're finding these things and we're giving them names. Saturn, Jupiter, Venus, those are things that we found, but there's things beyond them. You have to have a very powerful telescope in astronomy to be able to see them, but there's other galaxies out there. Who created all that? God created all that. And then you have the sea and the air creatures. The sea creatures, the ones that would live in the oceans and in the lakes and in the seas, and the fish, where God parted the water, they would be big. You know what? Whales don't live in rivers. Do they? You know, I live by Lake Huron. I've never seen a whale out there. Down in the bay, you've been out there fishing, you've never seen a whale out there? No, you've never seen a whale out there. And you know what? You don't see any alligators out there either. Thank goodness, if you did, I would never go near there. But you know, they rest in the place where they're best suited to survive in their lifestyle. So He made the air creatures, that means the birds. All kinds of birds are flying in the air. And so that was made on the fifth day. And then on the sixth day, the Lord made the land creatures. But what was the last thing that He made? What was the last thing that God created in the creation account? He created man. Turn your Bible to Genesis 1. Look at verse number 26. In Genesis 1, verse 26, it says, "Then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness." Now, He made man in the image of God. Did He create anything else in the image of God? Any animal? Any bird? Any sea animal? Any creature of the land? Was anything made in the image of God except man? Nothing. The only thing made in the image of God was man and woman. But why did He leave them to last? Look at the rest of the verse. "Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." Who did God give dominion to this earth to? To man, to mankind. What's happened today? Today we're trying to turn that over and let the environmentalists, let the earth regulate how we should treat it and what we should do. To let the earth have dominion and tell us how to keep it and how to create it and what to do with it. That's backwards. God gave everything that was created. Everything that was created in the world was created for man's benefit. Man had the dominion over it. He had the authority over it. He was to use it in a way that would benefit him. God would give man wisdom that he could use the things, and he would be able to use his mind, and he would be able to figure things out, and he would be able to come to an understanding about some of the things that God made, and he would be able to do things that would benefit mankind. Not just him, but would benefit all of mankind. Did He give that ability to a creature? No. Did He give it to a bird? No. Did He give it to any animal, any plant, any fruit tree? No. The only one that has that kind of ability to think, reason, and discern, the only one that has that ability is man. What is the greatest creation of man? What is the greatest creation of God? Man. Man is the pinnacle of God's creation. And then He gave man to be head over it all. But then the Bible says that on the seventh day, he rested. Now, we need to understand what that means. What it means is that he rested from his creation work. He didn't create anything else. So, everything that you can see, everything you can touch, anything that you can feel, anything that's in this world, God created it. And he created it in six literal 24-hour days. He spoke it into existence. Now the significance of the Genesis record and the days of creation are important. It gives intent, it gives order, and it gives design. If you have intent, and you have order, and you have design, what has to go with that? Intelligence. Somebody had to put it together. Somebody had to put this thing together. Somebody had to figure it all out. Did man do that? Did man figure all that out? No, man didn't figure all that out. God figured that out. And God created things in the way and in the order with the intent and purpose that he wanted it done. He didn't leave it to man. He did it himself. It also shows the beginning was very good. Look at verse 31. What does he say when he looks over all that he did? And then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was not just good, not just excellent, it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. The evening and the morning, what does that tell? What does that imply? That implies a day. And the evening and the morning are a 24-hour day. And he said that everything he created was very good. Now, it may not be very good today, but that's not God's fault. That's because man has corrupted it. He cannot be made to agree with the evolutionary dogma. The evolutionary dogma says that everything happened by natural cause every time. And it evolved in time. No, it didn't. And today, they've combined two things. God and creation by creating another type of creation called theistic evolution. Theistic evolution is, yes, God created it, but he created it in time. He created it over hundreds of millions of years. He did it by the evolutionary process. And he used the evolutionary process in order to make man. No, that's wrong too. He didn't do it over time, and he didn't do it over ages, and he didn't do it over millenniums. No, that's not what happened. Man was superior to animals. Why? Because he was made in the image of God. Why is man superior to animals? Because two things. Number one, he was made in the image of God. No animal can say that. No matter how much you love your dog, your cat, your hamster, whatever, he's not made in the image of God. Number two, he can't reason. He doesn't have intellect. Now, you can train him. They have instinct. And you can train him to do a lot of things. But, you know, they don't have the ability to see a situation and to reason and discern how to fix it. They can't do that. You know why? Because they don't have the capacity to discern and to have knowledge of men do. So that's why they are superior to animals. And it denies racism. Creation denies racism. There was no racism in the beginning. The races became in Genesis chapter 11. And the reason that races came about was because of the confusing of the language that God did in Genesis 11, because that's what he wanted in the first place. when they came out of the ark, what were they to do? What did God tell Noah to do when he came out of the ark? He said, go and replenish the earth. What did they do? They stayed right there. They didn't go anywhere. And so God, he helped them out. He made them scatter when he confused the languages in Genesis 11. And they spread out all over the earth. It displays the power of God. What equals the display of God's power on creation? Think of the most powerful example of power that we can think about today. Nuclear energy, the H-bomb. We're the most powerful nation on earth. Does our power equal God's? You know what? If I'm not right, I'm going to have to flip a switch. I couldn't speak anything into existence, and neither can you. But God did, and God can. Now, if God can speak the word of existence, why is it remarkable to us that he couldn't do it in 6 days? Why would we even question that? The atheist who denies God, evolution is science, and belief in creation is religion. False. I don't believe in creation because I'm religious. I believe in creation because that's the only thing that makes sense. Now, I remember having this conversation when I was in Arizona in college. Probably the closest person I ever met to an atheist. He said, Keith, he says, how can you believe the fairy tale of creation? How can you believe that this world, as expansive and as grand and as complex as it is, how can anybody speak it into existence? He says, you believe in a myth. I do. Well, let's talk about what you believe. You believe man came up out of swamp, and he crawled up out of water, and then he grew arms, and he grew feet, and then he grew a skeleton system, and a nervous central system, and then he grew a brain, and then he was able to learn to talk, and to reason, and to think, and then over hundreds of millions of years, he grew and he evolved into what he is today. And you tell me I believe in fairy tales? Let me ask you a question. Can we reproduce that today? Can we bring a man about in the same way today? I heard a good example. I went over to Donnie and Benny with me. Phil Arnold used this illustration, and I thought it was really good. I wonder if I'm glad I heard it. He said that he had a bunch of scientists got together, and they decided that they had figured everything out. They knew how everything was put together. They understood everything. They didn't need God anymore. They could do exactly what God did. With cloning, they were able to even create man. And they could do it, and they didn't need God. They told me they needed. So God says, well, I'll give you a chance. Let's both of us create a man. I said, okay, we can do that. So God got good, and then the scientists got good. He said, oh, wait a minute. Don't get your own dirt. That's my dirt. I created that dirt. You go get your own dirt. You know what happened? They couldn't create anything. You see, this is where the atheist has a problem. He has no point of beginning. He does not know the beginning. He says, okay, we came from Adam. Okay, where did Adam come from? They can't answer the beginning question. But I can answer that. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. It starts with God. It ends with God. The atheist doesn't know how it got started. With all of these things that you can put up, the scale of atoms and how the body and the molecule, all of that, he still has to have the beginning. Where did it come from? Where did it start? He doesn't know. He's in ignorance. When you go to the Creation Museum, you will see a plaque on the wall, and it says this: every time an evolutionist or somebody that denies the existence of God tells you creationists have no evidence, you remind them that you have the same evidence they have. We just have a different interpretation of what that evidence says. They interpret it one way to prove natural cause, evolution over time. We believe it began with intelligent design. Ladies and gentlemen, there is no common ground between a creationist and an evolutionist. One believes in intelligent design, the other believes in natural cause and process. Those two things are not equal. They're not equal. Lifeless matter produces life. Emotionless matter produces emotion. And intelligent matter creates intelligence. Really? Is it faith? Is that faith? For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that were made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. I know there's a God, and there's no way I should not know. Why does this world turn exactly one time in a year? Why are we exactly far enough away from the sun that we don't know, but we're not so far away that we turn into an ice cap? Oh, it was a big bang. There was a big explosion. And then it all settled up. That's a fairy tale. The exactness of science. Do you know that to move your fingers, you know how many things have to happen for you to be able to do that? Over 500 different actions that start in your brain to go through your body to be able to have your fingers move. You know, the eye is an interesting concept. You know, just to blink your eyes, you can't imagine how many things have to take place. All that just happened? That just grew over time? How complicated is man? How complicated is the human body? It's the greatest evidence of God. The human body is the greatest evidence of the existence of God. When I see the mountains, and I see the sun, and I see the moon, and I see the stars, and I see the order in the universe, and I see the design, you don't have to convince me there's a God. I know there's a God. Because I couldn't do that. You couldn't do that. It took somebody with intelligent design to do that. Somebody with awesome and immense power. The Pharaoh said in his heart, there is no God. There's not a truer statement made in the Bible. The person that would deny the existence of God is a fool. God is the only thing that makes sense. It's the only logical thing that makes sense. That this could all be put together by chance, by circumstance, by events that just happened. The atheists of the God denying, there is no God of creation. There is no creation week. There is no creation that belongs to God. Why explain, what explains and justifies his seven-day week creation? What justifies that? Genesis says that God created, bringing into existence that which was not. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things that are visible. Do you have to take it by faith?
Yes.
Were you there?
No.
Was I there?
No.
Who was there with God when he did it? Who is the living person that could give evidence? Who could give eyewitness account of what happened?
Only one person could do that.
Only one person could give the eyewitness testimony of what happened at creation. Only one person could do that. God. Do you need more than that? Do you need more evidence than God? You do if you don't have faith. Matter, life, and divine image. God took the dust of the ground and he made man out of it. He took a rib out of man and clothed it up on his body and created woman from the rib. Can you do that? Could I do that? God did it. God did it. I don't have to see it to believe it. My faith is I let God have the ability to do that. Add inconceivable timetables to the Genesis record. There are some of our brethren who were preaching about 15 years ago that between day one and day two, there were hundreds of millions of years. What? There were ages between every day. Every day there might have been 1,000 years, might have been 5,000 years, might have been millennium between the days. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that even in the morning, the first day. The Bible says it's 6 literal days. What does Hebrews 6:18 say? It is impossible for God to lie. Either that is a fact or it's a fault. And if the day, if creation account is false, the whole Bible is false. If you don't believe the creation account, why do you have any confidence to believe anything else that's written in the Bible? Oh God, you are my God. Only will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. Let me ask you something. If someone has the ability to speak the word into existence, to create light, to create the sun and the moon and the stars and the galaxy, and everything that you can feel, you can touch, you can see, and everything in the expanse greatness of this universe, and he can speak it into existence in 6 days. Let me ask you an odd question. Did he need 6 days? He could do it in 6 seconds. He could do it in 6 minutes. Why did he choose 6 days? I think it was for time. I think it was to create time. How many days are there in a week? 7. How many days in the creation account? 7. How did he tell time, morning and evening? You see, if you accept the very first verse of the Bible, how is creation difficult? How is that a difficult concept? How is it difficult to believe in God if you believe the very first verse of the Bible? In the beginning,
God created the heavens and the earth. If you deny that, then you have no basis to believe anything else that's written in the Bible. Because if that fact is false, that puts everything else in the Bible that it may not be credible. You know why we have a hard time understanding that? Because we cannot get our mind around it. We can't get our mind around it. You know, we talk about the greatest miracles of the Bible, parting the Red Sea, bringing Lazarus to life after 4 days, walking on water to Peter, calling Peter out and then he walked on water, giving the blind man sight in John. No. That's not the greatest miracle. The greatest miracle happened in Genesis. When God said, let there be light. And it was so. To make water, to make oceans and rivers and streams, and to create plant life and animal life, and to take the very dust of the ground and create a man, and to take a rib out of man and create a woman. You want to know power? You want to know a miracle? That was it. And it was done by the God who created everything that we can see and everything that we can touch and everything that we can construct. Who would know better how for me to live my life than the man and the person that was responsible to bring it about? Who could tell me better how to live my life properly than the one who created me? And the one that created everything for me. And the one that gave me to have dominion over it all. Why would I not listen to what he says? Who would have more power and more intelligence than God? Somebody want to tell me? To ask the questions, to answer it. Who else could, you know? Remember what Peter said in closing the night? Remember when some of the disciples, he gave a hard saying in John chapter 6? That some of the disciples left and followed him no more. And he turned to the disciples, remember what he asked him? He said, are you going to leave me too? Remember what Peter said? He said, Lord, you have the words of life. To whom would we go? If you deny the existence of God, where are you going to go? Where are you going to go if you deny the existence of God? Where are you going to turn to? What are you going to put your faith in? Man puts their faith in a lot of things, but it doesn't bring what they need. But now when you put your faith in God, that's a little different. Because that puts your faith in the right place. You know what? I don't have to see God. I don't have to be an eyewitness to believe in God. All I have to do is be honest with myself and look at everything that's created and know that it could have not just happened. Somebody put this thing together. And that somebody is God. And if you deny the creation account, and you're setting yourself up to deny every other biblical fact in the Bible. That's why people want to destroy the creation account. Because if you can destroy that, it's easy to destroy the rest. Because everything else is based upon the foundation of where the Bible began. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Fact or fiction? You have to decide. Man has to decide. I will ever decide that it's a fact. That God made it possible and God brought life into existence. I believe that because it's the only thing that makes sense. Please take your song book out to the son and brother Aaron, who selected as a means of encouragement. You're here tonight, you need to make some correction in your life. You need us to pray with you and for you. That God can help you in any way. We stand ready to do that. And if we can help you and assist you in any way, please make your way up front as to where we stand as we sing.